message and song. Praise the Lord. And Brother Sam, I'm going to need the cordless mic because I am going to set my wall up tonight. Amen. Well, before we get to celebrate with Steve and get some cake in the back. By the way, Sharita's an excellent cake maker, so if you've not had some of her cake before, you get a chance to sample it tonight, and that'll be a blessing. And so let's take our Bibles. We're going to look at another building block that we have been talking about when it comes to the work of the ministry and when it comes to the things of God and when it comes to just working together as a team. And we talked about having a certain building process in motion. So turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, and also to Nehemiah. I'm going to go to two areas, chapter 4, verse 6. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. So two areas, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, and then Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. We're going to look at these two areas tonight. We're not going to stay in Nehemiah. We're going to be focusing more on Galatians chapter 6. As we look at our next building block today, we're going to bring the wall over here in just a moment. And once you found your place, if you could go ahead and stand with me, and if you're able, and turn to Nehemiah 4:6 first. Nehemiah 4:6, if you're able to stand, let's go ahead and stand. And if you're not able, we definitely understand that as well. Nehemiah 4, verse 6, we're going to read that one first, then go over to Galatians chapter 6, and talk about the next building block here that we're trying to implement when you're dealing with leadership in the local church. And by the way, in the local church, there has to be leadership, there has to be followership, there has to be guidance, there has to be a lot of things to make God's program go together. Can you imagine if the disciples, the 12 disciples with Jesus Christ just said they're going to do their own thing, amen, and just do what they wanted to do? They had to follow the strict guidance of what Jesus said to do to see the results. That's what we're talking about here, is making sure that as a body, that you and I are on the same sheet of music when it comes to reaching souls for Christ and seeing the local church planted, and then ministries continuing to go forward. And so Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, and we're going to read that one. Everybody there say amen. Amen. Anyone not there say oh me. Amen. All right, in Galatians 6, 1 as well. So let's read Nehemiah 4, 6 first. So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And that was one of our jumping verses here when they were building the wall. And of course, you see, our wall is over here. Doesn't look much like a wall. It looks like cardboard. But use your imagination, amen. That's a wall. And we're going to continue putting pieces on the wall to make sure that we can understand what it takes to build for Jesus Christ in the ministry today. Now go over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and read verse number 1 with me together as well. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Amen. By the way, that's a good rule of thumb if you're trying to restore someone to the ministry. And we're going to be talking about that tonight. That is another building block that is necessary in the ministry. Amen. Father, work in our hearts tonight. Lord, as we look at what we are endeavoring to do as far as your pastor and your work, and as we're working together, as the people have a mind to work, and as we're building, Lord, lives for the souls, for the sake of the kingdom's glory and honor, Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to be faithful in that which we do. And as we look at another block of building in this process, Lord, that you would be glorified and uplifted. Thank you again for loving us, Lord. Meet with us tonight, Lord, and may your spirit have liberty in here. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Pastor White, let me get you and Brother Deacon Hall up here. And Deacon Perkins just for a moment. Now, who arranged the table up here? I hate to mess up all the decorations, but we're going to have to move this to a side so everybody can see the wall here. So we're going to move this back. We can just move it back to the back and set the wall up here so everybody can see it. The last time that we set it up, we set it down here on the ground level, and it couldn't be seen. So let's set it right there on top. And what we've been doing here lately is talking about three big components necessary in ministry work, and then six secondary ministry components that are necessary for work as well. The scripture said in Nehemiah that the people had a mind to work. And we talked about this. If you're going to work in ministry, and if you're going to build a wall, and this is our wall here, first of all, to build any kind of thing requires communication. Then second of all, it requires coordination, people working together, and then cooperation, making sure that everybody does their part. And by the way, the gospel ministry is no different. Jesus Christ had to have disciples that he could communicate with, that would coordinate for him and cooperate with him to get the work done. If we're going to reach souls for Jesus Christ, we need to have the same thing. And in ministry, that is a necessity. And then we said, if these big three are in place, then there's six other components that are necessary as well. And we talked about spirituality. We're going to do the work of the ministry or build for God. We've got to be spiritual in what we do. And what does that entail? A love for God and a love for others. Amen. Because the ministry is not about stuff and things. It's about people. And I've got to be spiritually led if I'm going to minister for God. I cannot be carnal. I've got to be spiritual. A love for God and a love for others. Then I've got to make sure that I'm loyal. I've got to be loyal to the cause of Christ first and foremost, but then loyal to the leadership that God has listed down in the local church. Amen. Then I've got to make sure I'm having honesty about that as well, making sure spirituality is there, loyalty and honesty, just upright in what I'm doing. And I'm doing it for the right reasons. And then if I've got honesty, I'm going to add to that integrity to make sure that I'm doing things for the right reasons. And I can be trusted. There's no hidden agendas in what I'm doing. I'm up and up. I'm on the upfront with people. Amen. And so if ministry is going to be done, it's going to be done with communication, coordination, cooperation. But then it's going to be undergirded with spiritual people, loyal people, honest people, and people with integrity. Now we're going to add another block onto this, because if we're going to build anything, we need to have this next component here, because this is how we're going to deal with people. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute as well. Now, I'm short, so y'all going to have to look over the wall to see me. How many of y'all can still see me? All right. So I'm going to come away from the wall. And then come over here to this wall. I'm Zacchaeus. He's a wee little man. All right. That's better. Praise the Lord. All right. So now we've got another one here. So I'm going to have Pastor White put this next one up here in just a minute. Amen. Because the first four blocks dealt with this: spirituality, loyalty, and honesty and integrity. They help us deal with the focus of others. Because remember, we talked about you've got to get past the focus of others. And these first four help us to get past the focus of others. It helps us to continue to build, but at the same time, look over and see someone else's need and get them back on track, because we're going to do this spiritually, loyally, honestly, and with integrity. The last two that we're going to talk about deal more with our feelings. Oh boy, how many of y'all got feelings? Amen. We all have feelings. Amen. And the next ones are going to help with your feelings. Amen. And so feelings of others, we got to get past the feelings of others. The focus is in mind, but now the feelings. Feelings of others must be considered when building or ministering so close to each other on a regular basis. Now, Pastor White and I spend a lot of time together. And because we spend a lot of time together, he knows me and I know him. But you know what? Sometimes I can probably get on his nerves. Amen. I can hurt his feelings. He may hurt my feelings. Guess what? I've got to be man enough, and he's got to be man enough to say, you know what, preacher, you hurt my feelings. Amen. You stepped on my toes. Whatever. Amen. And so if I'm going to minister, I've got to be able to not just deal with the focus of others and making sure they're focused on their ministry, but also their feelings, because people have feelings. You don't have feelings today, you're not a people. Amen. Everybody's got feelings. Amen. But everybody's got this thing called feelings. And so we got to make sure that if we're going to minister, by the way, if you get on somebody's wrong side with their feelings, your ministry is not going to go a whole lot of places real fast. Y'all with me? Even in your home with mamas and daddies and children, amen, you get on one of the children's bad side, feelings get hurt, guess what? That children's going to be unproductive until they straighten up. Parents are going to be the same way. Sometimes we're going to need to get past these types of feelings as we minister to people. Feelings of bad attitudes. How many of y'all ever had a bad attitude? And guess what? Somebody's still got to work with you with your bad attitude. Watch it, buddy. And not only bad attitudes, fatigue. How many of y'all get tired? You still got to work with people that get fatigued. Here's another feeling, rebellion. How many of y'all have been rebellious before? All of us. You need to raise hands and feet too, amen? And you still got to work past people's rebellion as you minister for God. What about this one, frustration? How many of y'all been frustrated before? Amen. How about sick? Y'all been sick before? Sick is a feeling. You feel bad. Amen. I can't see all of y'all over there. Amen. Now I see. Who's that? There he is. Amen. No, I couldn't see everybody. Amen. And so here's another one. Amen. How many of y'all get angry? You got to minister to angry people. How about this one? How many of y'all have been resentful before? Amen. These are real feelings. How many of y'all have been resistant before? Guess what? These are real feelings that real people really have in local churches. So we've got all these feelings, and there's a whole bunch more that I could throw in there. But we've got to keep in mind that I've got to focus on others, but then deal with the feelings of others if I'm going to minister to people effectively, because their feelings are real, whether you believe them or not. You say, well, you shouldn't feel that way. Well, the fact of the matter is I do. Now, what you going to do with that? Well, you shouldn't, but I do. Now, what do you do? Well, we forget about you and put you in a corner. Well, that's not going to work. It's not the love of God. That's not the love of Christ. Amen. There is a way to handle feelings. There is a way to deal with people. And it is with passion along with compassion as we deal with the feelings of others. And each of us are going to have to conduct ourselves with this next building block that I'm going to put up here as we try and build this wall. And Pastor White, if you could get this and get some other men to assist you. And again, we do this on purpose. We always give them another building block. And when we give them the building block, we give them one scissor and one roll of tape. And the tape has got to be pulled off, and then it's got to be put on. And Pastor White, I want you to put it on right here and get you some volunteers. We're going to put it right here on the edge. Now, you had to come this way and go back here next to integrity. You got Brother Reyes, amen. Now, why do we have him getting people? Because ministry is about people. Ministry is about getting people to help you go evangelize people for the cause of Christ. Ministry is about enlisting other people into the gospel ministry of souls. Amen. And so Pastor White has to enlist someone to help him. But wait a minute. He's got to be concerned about his feelings as well as he's doing this. He's got to be concerned about his focus. He's got to help him out. He's got to train him on what he's doing. And as we're training and discipling people, sometimes, just sometimes, we can actually hurt somebody's feelings. Y'all know that? You know, how many of y'all in the church know how I am? What do you see wrong with this picture up here? It's crooked. It's crooked. This here is crooked. And y'all know that gets my goat. But guess what? When you minister, you got to be careful about people's feelings. You can't go up there and say, that gets my goat. I don't like the way that looks. Why? Some people are doing the best they can. Somebody might have been looking at it like this. Now, I can easily go up there and take it down and change it and say, that's how I want it. But guess what? I take away from what God has given to them. And so when you're ministering, you got to be careful about people's feelings, because nobody wants their feelings crushed or stepped on purpose. They don't even want it done on accident. Can I get an amen? Y'all getting silent because y'all know it's true. And certain things that I do in the ministry, I've got to make sure that the feelings of other people are going to be kept intact as I minister. Why? Because if I am doing these things and trying to work with people, I am counting on that person to be aiding me to go and reach somebody else for the gospel. And if I've hurt their feelings, guess who they're not going to want to go soul winning with? Come on, brother, let's go soul winning. I don't want to go with you. You hurt my feelings all the time. You know, you told me I put that thing up crooked, so I probably lead somebody to the Lord crooked. So what else can I do? Hey, you got to watch it. So the next block that we need, one of the last two, is functionality. Say, preacher, what is functionality? The ability to deal well with situations. Functionality. By the way, in the local church, you have to have functionality. I've got to be able to deal with people in such a way that I'm conscious of their feelings. And I'm aware of their feelings. Well, they shouldn't wear them up on their shoulders. The fact is, they do. What are you going to do? Take them down? Amen. I hurt your feelings if I try and take it down. It's not my job to take down your feelings. My job is to work with you in spite of your feelings. And your job is to work with me in spite of my feelings. Now, we already agreed that we all have feelings. Amen. So functionality. By the way, this is spiritually working through and with people, problems, and relationships. That's what functionality in the ministry is all about. Spiritually working through people, problems, and relationships. And by the way, give me this. Most problems in a local church can be handled by having two fundamental things in your life. One of them is already listed up here. Spirituality. Loving God and loving others.
if you have spirituality, most of your problems that are going to come your way when it comes to feelings of others can be handled with being spiritual about a situation, having a love for your God and a love for them. Because if you have a love for God and a love for them, you're not going to do anything that's going to damage them or detract from what they're going to do in the ministry. The second one is humility. Humility. Having a proper view of yourself in the sight of God. I know we say, well, it's putting yourself low and it's this, that, yeah. Yeah, but sometimes we can put ourselves too low. Can I get amen? Amen. Sometimes we folks have put us down all of our lives. We come here, well, I'm nothing. No, God said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am somebody in Christ. Amen. And so sometimes we can humble ourselves too far down where we feel like we're nothing, but in Christ, I'm everything. And so it's having a proper view of self. So if I handle people problems functionally, it's going to be spiritually and it's going to be with humility, having a proper view of who I am in Christ and what God can do in and with me and through me. And so most problems in the local church can be handled by having those two basic principles, spirituality and humility. And by the way, when it comes to love for God and love for others, Proverbs 10:12 says it this way, love covereth all sins. How many of y'all believe that? And if we love God and we love others, guess what? Our love will cover their sins. Now, I'm not saying you put up with it. Now, I'm not saying you brush it to the side. But I'm saying you deal with them in such a way you say, I'm a sinner too. Amen. And I want God to deal with me from a position of love. I'm not saying you forget about it. But you know how to deal with them and deal with them in spite of their sin. God knows how to deal with us in spite of our sin. And so Proverbs 10:12 says that. 1 Peter says it this way. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And so having spirituality and humility are the two fundamental things that are going to increase your functionality when it comes to working past the feelings of people. By the way, we're going to deal with several things here tonight. All people problems should be handled, number one, picturesquely, then prayerfully, then personally, then patiently, practically, and privately. And hopefully we'll get to at least three of those tonight. Amen. We must ensure we're handling people issues according to two basic areas of scripture. Galatians 6:1 is one of them. And then Matthew 18:15 is going to be another one that we're going to look at, because most of our problems can be handled with using both of those two scriptural areas. And by the way, are we going to have problems in the local church? Amen. And why are we going to have problems in the local church? People are sinners. And if people are sinners, what do people do? Sin. And when people sin, who do they normally sin against? Other people. First four commandments are towards God, relationship with God. The next six are toward you and I. And if I break one of those last six, guess what? It's going to be against one of you, more than likely. It's just the way it is. And so now how can I deal with that? All right, amen. Well, let's look at this first of all. The first word is picturesquely. Before attempting to handle people problems, be sure you're handling problems picturesquely. What am I saying? Go back to Galatians 6:1 if you left from there. Picturesquely. Galatians 6:1. I've got to view Galatians 6:1. I've got to have a view. I've got to have a view of chapter 6 and verse 1 from the Holy Spirit's perspective of chapter 5. That's why I say picturesquely. If I just look at Galatians 6:1, guess what? I'm picking up in the middle of the story. Chapter 5, he's already talked to you about how you can restore this brother. Say, preacher, picturesquely. What are you talking about? Go back to chapter 5. Notice what he says up here in verse number 13 of chapter 5. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, what should I do? Serve one another. Hey, by the way, just because I have liberty to do something doesn't mean I need to do it. Can I get amen? Yeah. Just because I have liberty doesn't mean I should do it. That just means I have the occasion. I can do it. But he says, hey, look, just because you got a liberty, don't take advantage of that, but look at your brother. And serve one another. Then he says this, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love who? Thy neighbor as thyself. What I say, love for God and love for your neighbor? He said, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16, this I say then, walk how? In the spirit. What is that word over here? First word, spirituality. He says, walk in the spirit, and what's not going to happen? And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, he's saying, if you're spiritually minded, then you're going to do what God wants, not what you want. Then he says this, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you what? Cannot do the things that you would. He said, if you're in the flesh, you can't do what you need to do. So if you're in the flesh, you're not going to do this part right. You're not going to handle people and their feelings accurately. Why? Because you're in the flesh. If you're in the flesh, who are you concerned about? Me. I don't care about you because it's all about me. What about me? And so when you're dealing with this, Paul says, wait a minute, let's get the perspective up. Let's get the picture up here. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. He says, if you're in the flesh, you're going to deal with this thing functionally this way. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which none of those are good. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things should not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, or in other words, if I'm going to do things with spirituality, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Where are we at? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He said there's no law against that. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So he says, you know what? There's going to be two ways, functionally speaking, that you're going to handle things in the local church. You're going to handle things spiritually or in the flesh. And so when I'm dealing with functional things in the local church, how am I going to operate? I'm going to deal with it in the flesh or in the spirit. One of those two ways. If I'm dealing with the feelings of others, I don't know about you, but I want somebody to deal with me in the spirit. Can I get an amen? How many of y'all want somebody to deal with you in the flesh? I don't think you do. I've been in the flesh before. It is not a good person to be in. And then he says this, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now he says, brethren, what did he say? He said, I want you to view this thing picturesquely. If you're going to restore a brother, you better go back to chapter 5 and see how to do it. Have some love, have some joy, have some peace, have some long-suffering, have some gentleness, have some meekness, have some temperance, have these things, because if you don't have it, guess what? You're going to get it wrong. And so if I'm going to deal with functionality, if I'm going to deal with relationships, if I'm going to deal with the feelings of others, he says, go back and check out what I just said, because if you're not spiritual, you can't do it. Amen. Y'all with me? All right. So he says this. Picturesquely, go back up, see what's going on. Brethren, man, be overtaken in the fault. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we're going to look at these next several words that I talked about. The first one was picturesquely. I'm viewing this thing in perspective of chapter 5, bringing the thought process onto chapter 6. And the first thing he says, brethren, he said, these are saved people. You are one of another. You have the same Christ that someone else has. By the way, the Jesus in you has no problem with the Jesus in me. Amen. By the way, Matthew's from South Dakota. The Jesus that he bought from South Dakota is very much in fellowship with the Jesus that I have in Tucson. I kid with him about the weather up there, you know, but that's neither here nor there. But guess what? When we stand face to face, his Jesus and my Jesus are together. Now, if they're not together, guess what? One of us has just stepped in the flesh. And we've gone back up to chapter 5. Y'all with me? And so one of us is not going to be able to deal with things functionally. Why? We're contrary now. Somebody's not right. Y'all with me? So if I'm in a local church, I've got to make sure if I'm going to build this wall, if I'm going to be cooperating with Jesus Christ to help build the wall of people, the wall of fellowship, the wall of souls being saved, I've got to conduct myself with these attributes in my life. But functionally speaking, I cannot do it if I'm in the flesh. Look at a word here. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. The word overtaken there means to be caught by surprise or to be caught off guard or to be caught unaware. So in other words, this is not the habitual life of a person. This is not something they do all the time. This is something that they found themselves in unawares. They didn't mean for this to happen, but it happened. How many of y'all have been there before? Amen. Now, I know that we sin. When we sin, we know what we're doing. I understand that. But this is a sin that we know it was there, but this is not our normal way of life. He said, you find a brother like that. Now, if he's a habitual sinner, he might not be saved. Amen. But he says, you find a brother like this. He said, he's been overtaken. He's been caught by surprise. He's been caught off guard. He's been caught unaware. But now what is he caught in? He's caught, overtaken in a fault. The word fault there means a side slip, a lapse or a deviation, an unintentional error or trespass, a fall or an offense or a sin that he finds himself in. Do we have people like that to come to church? Every Sunday, every Wednesday, we have people like that. So now I find this brother. He's overtaken. He's caught in this sin or whatever it is. It's not his normal behavior, but he finds himself in that way. Now, what do I do with that brother?
Well, you're in sin, brother. Bless God, you need to get out of church.
That's what some of us do. Mr. Duffy, sin, sin, sin. I know your type. Here on Sunday at the club Sunday night. Mm-hmm. That was no sideslip. That's your natural behavior. I know how you are. Mm-hmm. We start judging and surmising people up and sizing them up. Well, that just slipped out of your mouth because that's what you normally say. We judge them quick and we judge them hard, and we're some of the worst critics on ourselves. A heathen out there who knows not God, we give them all kind of slack. But us in the house of God, well, we don't give them an inch. Preacher misspell one word and pronounce a word. Well, you need to go back to grammar school. Never said I was going to pronounce every word right. Well, you need to do more studying. Pray for me. Hey, I'm just saying, y'all know some of the thoughts y'all have. I'm just telling you some of the thoughts that I had with my preacher. Amen. Overtaken in the fall. So you got this guy here. So I'm handling this thing picturesquely. I have already viewed this from chapter number 5. I understand that I need to be spiritual about this. I've got this brother. He's overtaken in a fault. And I've got to do a second thing here. Not just handle this thing picturesquely, but then handle it prayerfully. Back in Nehemiah, don't turn there, in chapter 2 and verse 4, when Nehemiah saw that the walls were destroyed, the king saw him and the king asked him, why was he so sad? And this is what Nehemiah 2:4 said. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? Nehemiah said this in his heart, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Hey, if we're going to do anything for God in this functional state, I've got to view things picturesquely, seeing that I need to be in the spirit, but that I need to be prayerful. I need to be prayerful about this thing. Do you know that when you see a brother or sister in a fault, it's not always what you think? It's not always what it seems. And even though you saw it with your own two eyes, it's not always as it seems. I found that out on many occasions. I see something, and I go back and I ask questions about what I saw. And they said, oh, it's this, this, this. I said, whew, man, for a minute there, well, I thought you was. Things are not always what you see. And we are quick to judge people. What am I saying? Picturesquely, I handle people problems and people issues, but then prayerfully, I handle those things. And notice what he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. But then there's a third thing here, not just picturesquely and prayerfully, but then personally. Notice what he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual, restore such an one. I don't go over here and say, preacher, you know what? There's a lot of folk in sin, and God help them. What good is that going to do you? He says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Hey, if I'm walking in the spirit, if I picturesquely looked at this thing and saw there's a fleshly way and there's a spiritual way, and if I see that this brother is taken in a fault, if I see he's overcome, he's got a side slip, if I'm going to handle these issues and I need to go to that brother and I go to him picturesquely and prayerfully, but then personally, restore means to repair or to completely and thoroughly set them right. It's a medical term, which means to set a bone. How many of y'all ever had a broken bone before? How many of y'all would like the doctor to go in and say, all right, put your leg up here. Put it up here. Let me get this thing in order. Oops, sorry about that. I broke your bone again. I am so sorry about that. But let's see if we can put it back together. Let's see. Stay down, bone. There you go. Oops, it came apart again. Nurse, can I have some tape? If you had a broken bone, guess what? They were very delicate with you when you went in. Faith had her wrist fractured here several months ago, and she had a little cast on. The doctors had to go in and make sure everything was set right. The word restore means to set them right again, to completely repair them, to mend them, so to speak. How many sowers we got in here? Mending takes precision, doesn't it? I know, because I sewed up some stuff and it looked crazy. I mean, I sewed that stuff up, man, had some wide stitches in that stuff. I mean, it looked crazy, but I didn't know how to sew. It worked for me. No, it really didn't work for me because it looked crazy. My wife said, "Who did that?" She said, "What kind of hem you got in your pants?" The only kind I knew how to make. Sorry. Hey, the word restore means to get someone repaired, get someone completely and thoroughly restored, to make them up again, to make them whole again. So in other words, I've got to go to this person, and I'm going picturesquely with the Spirit of God. I'm going prayerfully to this person, but I'm going personally to help make them better. By the way, sometimes we can make people worse, not better. All in how we go to them. If you go with your nose up in the air already, you should have never done that in the first place, Mr. Duffy, and you wouldn't be in this position. If you had to listen to me, I know best. Now look at you, grovel a little bit. Let's swaddle that sin a little bit more, and I'll help you a little bit. Guess you're humble enough now. That's not going to help him. He'll go look to somebody else for help. A heathen can help better than that. But he says, restore. How would you want somebody to deal with you? Amen. Good question, isn't it? And so I deal with people the way I want people to deal with me. Well, I just want to be up front in my face. Yeah, right. When you're down and out, you don't want somebody to be right up in your face. You want them to be compassionate to you. You want them to have passion with you. You want them to take you and understand where you're at and what you're going through and to meet you where you're at to help get you where you need to be. You don't want to have this old holier than thou. Look at you, see, overtaken in a fault. Huh? Mm-hmm. See, if you follow what God said, how many of us follow what God says all the time? What if God looked down like that to us? And what am I saying? He's handling this thing picturesquely, prayerfully, personally. We're trying to restore someone, trying to mend them, trying to build them up. But then there's another word here, and I call that word patiently. He says, restore such a one the spirit of meekness. Meekness. Meekness means gentleness or humility. You know, one of the things the doctor does, he takes as much time with you as he needs. He's patient to set that bone right, to get this thing set right. And he gives you these instructions. Now, don't go out and do anything. They told Faith, they say, don't get on the monkey bars. Don't get on this. Don't get on that. Take care of yourself. Come back and see me in a while so we can make sure it's healing properly. What is that? Patiently. Taking your time. When you're dealing with someone's feelings, you can't rush feelings. How many of y'all ever had feelings before? You ever had somebody dealing with you and you're in a broken state or you're in a sad state or a sobbing state? Somebody steady looking at their watch? When them tears going to stop? When is this going to stop? I got to roast in the oven, you know. Man. Are you finished yet? We don't want to be dealt with that way. We want somebody to be patient with us. Hey, it took me 2.5 hours to get saved. I don't know how long it took y'all, but somebody had to be patient with me. Brother Rod Branch had to talk to me for 3 months. Somebody had to be patient with me. I had a lot of questions. Somebody had to be patient with me. The least we can do when it comes to functionality is making sure we're patient with people. They have feelings. By the way, may I add this? Children are people too. Children have feelings too. Children get hurt too. Children have things that they go through too. You say, well, they got their own little world and it's inconsequential to me. It's irrelevant. No, it's very relevant. And so children have feelings too. I try to get down there with the kids and get down there. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Who was that? I was with one of the kids there earlier. And they just didn't want to be bothered at all. And I said, hey, how you doing? They're like, meow. I said, ooh, okay. Ooh, yeah. You know what he had? Feelings. Feelings. And I thought, poor thing. But guess what? I dare not make him come to me. Well, he probably would have bit his parent, and I'd have got blamed for it. What am I saying? Patiently. If I'm going to deal with people, I've got to be patient with them. The spirit of meekness, but then practically. So picturesquely, I'm going to look at Matthew or at Galatians here and see in chapter 5, in verses 18 and verses 24, what do I need to do, picturesquely speaking, but then prayerfully go to them, but then personally go to them to help restore them, to make them better, but then patiently trying to work with them with this functionality, but then practically, notice what he says here. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering who? Thyself, lest thou also be what? Tempted. Practically, consider. In other words, put yourself in their shoes because this could be you one day. And how would you want somebody to deal with you? That is one of the last things that we think about when we're trying to deal with people. This could be you. You know what we think about? Why don't you just get right? Why don't you just get right? Why don't you just get it settled? Why don't you just grow up, as Brother Dunn told me? Just grow up, brother. We don't think about ourselves being in that predicament. You know, when Brother Dunn had to call me at one of the lowest times in his life, and I could easily say, why don't you just grow up? But you know what? I didn't. I listened to him, and he talked, and he talked, and he talked, and he talked, and he cried, and he cried, and he talked some more. And I listened. You know why? I said, you know what? I could be exactly where you're at right now. You may be the one that led me to the Lord, and you're more senior than I am. But guess what? I could be exactly where you're at one day, if not for the grace of God. I could be there. He said, look, if you're going to deal with people, and functionally speaking, if you're going to deal with their feelings and deal with relationships and deal with people and deal with their problems, hey, you better look at this thing picturesquely. Hey, it takes something to build this wall. This wall doesn't just get built. It's built by people, people with feelings, real feelings, that you're going to have to work with and I'm going to have to work with. And we're going to have to work with them and be spiritual, picturesquely looking at this thing, prayerfully looking at it, personally looking at it, restore such a one, patiently, spirit of meekness, practically considering thyself, knowing that you may be wearing those shoes one day. And how would you want to be treated if that were you? What am I saying? Folks, if we're going to build the wall, if we're going to work with people, if we're going to get people in this church saved and get them discipled and get them in the work of the ministry, we're going to have to recognize they got feelings. And as we're working with them, trying to enlist them into the fellowship of God to work and win souls, guess what? Their feelings may get hurt. Our feelings may get hurt. And we've got to be Christian enough to go and say, you know what? There's a way to handle this. You know, there's a way not to handle this. And I want to handle this with some love and some joy and some peace and some long-suffering and some gentleness and some goodness and some faith and some meekness and some temperance. I want to handle it that way because, you know what? I may be overtaken in the fault one day. And I want someone to handle me prayerfully and patiently and personally and practically. Why? It may be you. It may be me. So when you're looking at this aspect, and that's all we're going to have time to look at tonight, of functionality. If we're going to get past the feelings of others, they need to know that we really care about them. And they're not just another name. They've got to know that we really care about their situation. We really care about what they're going through. We really feel what they feel. And we have some passion and some compassion. You say, preacher, but I don't know what they're going through. Well, you will if you listen real good. You really, if you look at their facial expressions. You really look at their heart. And oftentimes folks will say, well, preacher, you just always smile. We never know where you're at. Oh, I may be always smiling. That's because I know God is good. But preachers have feelings too. Oh, preacher, nothing could hurt you. Ha, 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 ha. Y'all don't see me when I'm crying at home. Amen. Hey, preachers get hurt too. And guess what? Preachers have feelings. Christians have feelings. We all have feelings. And we're going to work together. We've got to look at what Galatians says about how to handle people. Why? Everybody wants to be loved. Amen. I can't tell you one person that says, I don't want to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved. Children want to be loved. Husbands want to be loved. Wives want to be loved. Children, teenagers want to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved. And one of the ways that we can show the love of God is by spiritually handling things, making sure when it comes to functionality, we work through people, their problems and relationships with picturesquely attitude, a prayerful attitude, a personal attitude, a patient attitude, and a practical attitude, making sure that this is handled right. And we'll get through a little bit more next week. No, we won't. Pastor White's preaching next week. Amen. It's a week after that. But you know what, folks? One of the things that we're going to have to make sure that we do is talk to each other, communicate with each other, coordinate with each other, cooperate. Why? We're trying to build a wall, and we're trying to do it together. And we can't do it together if we're not on the same sheet of music. And so we're handling things spiritually with some loyalty, with some honesty, with some integrity, with some functionality. You know what? They said, so built we the wall. They got it done. Now, I'm sure they had some bumps in the road. I'm sure there were some tough times. You read the account. They got mocked. They got scorned. They got ridiculed. A whole lot of things happened. But guess what? They still built the wall. You and I are going to have some bumps. We're going to have some bruises along the way. We're going to have some setbacks. We're going to have a lot of things that happen. But guess what? We can still build the wall. Why? With the love of God and with the grace of Jesus Christ. We can still build the wall. But it's not going to happen all by itself. You and I got to do some things with that. Let me ask you and leave you with this thought. What are you going to do next time someone comes to you and they've been hurt and their feelings got hurt? How are you going to treat them? What are you going to say to them? I would suggest you listen with your head as well as with your heart. And I would suggest you deal with them the same way you want to be dealt with. And I would suggest you try and do the best that you possibly can to make them feel better about where they're at in the sight of God and the Word of God, using the principles of God to help restore that brother or that sister, because it might be you that needs to be restored one day. It might be me. Remember that the next time someone comes to you, don't be so quick to judge, because we're going to build. It's going to be because we do it on purpose. It's not going to be by accident. And I know you say, well, preacher, who's going to be the next one to get hurt, their feelings hurt? Any one of us. Somebody's going to get hurt because they don't get to go first to get some cake. Somebody's going to get hurt because Pastor White's piece is bigger than your piece. Somebody's going to be hurt because they're going to go back and get seconds and there ain't no seconds because somebody got thirds and fourths. And somebody's going to get hurt. See, it's the pastor's kids. If his kids didn't go up there, if he just trained his kids better, they'd only get one piece. Yeah, see, it's the pastor's fault. What am I saying? Feelings. We all have them. But we got to guard how we handle them in the ministry, because it can make or break a young Christian. It can make or break an old Christian. Why? We all have them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, I pray that we would really sense the need to build together. Lord, understanding that we all have feelings. And as those feelings are very real, then, Lord, we need to make sure that we conduct ourselves in a very real manner.